Welcome back to Suburban Black Girl, episode 38.
Still not drinking.
Yes, and I'm just moral supporting, even though, you know, I could go for a little Hennessy right now, but I haven't eaten anything today. Otherwise, I probably would have had one.
Yeah, no, you're insane for not eating it.
Moral support. Well, that's me trying to make sure that I, because I'm going to Tulum on Wednesday and your birthday in a month. Yeah. So, yeah, I am trying to watch a few pounds before. So I'm happy to give you moral support on your month of sobriety.
Yeah, like, I know they said that it was harder to lose weight when you're closer to 30, but goddamn.
No, the scale's not moving.
It's literally not. So now I'm literally like, I'm having to just pull out everything.
No.
Because I'm like, it's not moving.
It's like taking real discipline that I don't have anymore.
Yeah.
At all.
Literally. It's definitely different. So yeah, just trial and error, but I'm hoping this works, so we'll see.
I mean, no sugar and no alcohol, that should work. And you do work out, so.
Yeah.
And you're already gluten-free, so I don't know what more you can do, honestly.
Eat air.
Like, than starve yourself.
Literally, I've just been, like, really shrinking my portions, like, more significantly, and then the girlies are saying the no sugar. So I'm hoping that that's doing it. I already feel a little better. So I'm hoping, yeah, that'll be it. Because remember, you know, my love for coffee, I put a lot of
syrup. I was going to say, I don't feel like you eat unhealthy. So what have you cut out?
Honestly, the main things is like the sugar. And then.
I know, but like, what do you eat that's sugary is what I mean. Because I feel like you don't eat sweets.
Yeah. I think it's really like the juices, the coffees. Mm. But I haven't. Doing more sweets lately. I'm not gonna lie, I have.
Like, okay.
But I've been finding more of like the dairy-free ice creams, and so that's been my new thing. And so I have been honestly indulging a bit more lately than usual.
Okay.
You know how dating is. You're just like, oh, let's just like watch a movie and like snack and eat ice cream.
That's what happened to me.
Yeah, and that's starting to happen to me. So I've had to like throw out all the ice cream, you know. So.
Yeah. You'll do it. Yeah. What is your goal?
10 pounds.
You don't need to lose 10 pounds.
Yes, I do, Blake.
No, you don't.
I swear.
I do. You don't.
No, I swear you do. I swear. Like, I just feel a little better. Because, like, even before I broke my ankle, I still have, like, not lost all that weight yet. Mm. But, I mean, obviously, I'm older now. That was, like, 2 years ago. But still, I'm trying to get back to, like, my pre-injury weight.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Because I heard, like, lately I've been having a little more, like, my ankle hurts a little bit more lately. Mm-hmm. And so someone was like, honestly, sometimes losing a little weight does help. I'm like, I could see that. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that'll help me, too, because I've just been feeling a little more pain lately. And I'm like, it's probably just more weight on it.
So, Fair.
We'll see. Okay. Well, we are back with episode 2 of our series called First of Her Kind. So this episode, we are discussing all about the one who chooses herself. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be talking more about like boundaries, building self-confidence, learning to stop people-pleasing, because I feel like that's a place where we both evolved in. And so I'm really excited to kind of get into this topic.
Yeah, I love this series. If you're a Black woman trying to do better, I think it's for you.
No, for sure. And I feel like there's a way where you can put yourself first more, but of course, you know, it's not like you're brushing people aside. It's just learning to put you first more and making sure, you know, you're accounting for yourself with any and every decision you're making.
Well, yeah. And I feel like we're not really raised like that, raised to put ourselves first. You know, it's always the strong Black woman idea. And I don't think we're raised to like take care of ourselves first.
No, you're right. You're right. We are taught to kind of put everyone else before ourselves. So absolutely.
Yeah. And even if you're not, I feel like there's this like unspoken expectation. And you see it in society too, where it's like people expect Black women or even Black people, period, to like stand up when every other racial group is going through something. It's like, we've been fighting for 400 years. You know what I mean? Like, why do Black people, but especially Black women, get dragged into everything?
Right.
So.
And Blake says she done helping y'all. Y'all did not come through for our girl.
92%. We tried.
Period. Well, let's get into the questions. What does choosing yourself actually look like in your life?
I think for me, it was mostly just a mindset change where I'm always, if it's time for me to make a decision about something, I'm always thinking about how everyone else is going to feel about it or what they're going to think. And I think putting myself first and asking myself, what do I want to do? How does this make me feel? And putting that first, I think, is what has been like the shift for me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that as well. Because I used to be the same type where I would consider others first before myself, before thinking, well, what does Ashlyn want? What does Ashlyn think? So I definitely agree with that as well. For me, choosing myself looks like what is best for me and how is it going to benefit me better? But also finding a way to maybe somehow be inclusive of others, but more so how is it going to benefit me? Because like we always talk about, people are going to put their selves before you. So why continue to not do the same for yourself, right? But depending on the situation, I am big on understanding where other people are coming from. But if it's just not the right thing for me or if it doesn't benefit me, then hey, it just won't work like that.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think it's hard. It's not really something that comes naturally to me to just think about myself first. And I think in some cases that's not a bad quality, right? Like consideration, being considered, being thought of is, they say, one of the highest forms of love. You know what I mean? Taking other people into account. But like I've said before, an overused strength is a weakness. And you know, you can't be abandoning yourself or your own needs for the sake of other people. And so, you know, I think you always want to take into account how other people are going to feel, but not to the point of putting yourself or your own needs to the side and not completely self-sacrificing. Because we've talked about this before, you can't pour from an empty glass. And I think that's been the learning lesson for me in the shift is eventually you put other people first, you put other people first, and then you reach a point where you literally have nothing left. And then it's like your body, your life, whatever you're going through is giving you no other choice but to focus on yourself. And so you never want it to get that bad.
Right. No, exactly. Exactly. And I honestly think a lot of times people don't put themselves first because the fear of how other people may feel or react, or that person may no longer want to be with you or be around you or have them have you in their life. And honestly, I used to feel that way as well, but eventually I was like, I can no longer do this. And those that couldn't handle that boundary I had set, then hey, you just no longer want to be in my life and that's okay. Yeah. But those that are truly down for you and there for you and really genuinely love you, they're going to stick it out with you and be there no matter if you decide to put you first or choose you first, because I'm pretty sure we both can say our friends choose themselves first and that's okay. You know what I mean? And it's good to have people around you that we all are on the same page where it's like, girl, I just can't today. Or honestly, I just no longer want to do it. And we're all kind of like, okay, that's fine. That's your decision. And I respect that. And so I'm glad to have friends and family and people around me like that now where we all understand where each other are coming from.
Yeah. And I think the people pleasing can come from dealing with whether it's people in your family or people you've dated that kind of were like emotionally unstable or emotionally unpredictable or emotionally immature, where the moments where you did want to focus on yourself or put yourself first, it's like you were punished. You know what I mean? Like, and I think for a lot of people that can trigger a fear of abandonment when you do something or you put yourself first in a way that somebody doesn't like and they punish you by removing themselves from your life or removing their energy, you know, or the silent treatment is a big one. And I think all that does is reinforce people pleasing and you not putting yourself first. So I think unlearning that and decentering their feelings.
Yeah.
Honestly, if that's how they're going to react and they're going to be like emotionally immature in that way, it's kind of just like it is what it is. Last week, we were talking about how, you know, when you have conflict with people and you want to break out of toxic habits of like, oh, whatever, they'll get over it and not talking about it. Like, I think this is a situation where it's like, okay, if you do something that's best for you and you communicate it in a healthy way and somebody wants to act emotionally immature or punish you by being distant or inconsistent, I feel like that is a moment where you can be like, okay, whatever, they'll get over it. You know right. what I mean? Like, that is a time where it's appropriate
yeah.
and you can't invest your time and feelings into that, because all that does is it creates anxiety, honestly.
Yeah.
Like for me, it has in the past. And yeah, I think people that are emotionally immature like that, you have to decenter their opinions and their feelings.
No, I totally agree with that. You have to really get to that point. It takes time, but I mean, eventually you literally just have to, because yeah. if not, it's just a
You're
revolving
lost.
Door. Yeah. yeah, for sure. Well, to segue into that, how did you know it was time to stop people pleasing?
I honestly did not even start to remotely make progress with that until I went to therapy, because I honestly think like the anxiety from it some days would just be very overwhelming for me, of the idea of possibly upsetting someone or what they're going to think. And then when I do make a decision and they don't like it, then I'm overthinking like how they're feeling or what they're going to do next. And yeah, eventually the overthinking or the anxiety just gets out of control. And it's almost like you don't feel like you have control over your nervous system. And like, that's what anxiety feels like for me, where it's like you almost don't have control over your body. And yeah, I feel like that's the sign where it was like, enough is enough for me, because that was a clear indication that I'm not thinking about myself enough and I'm not taking care of myself enough, and I'm way too concerned about what other people think and feel. And I know I'm not a malicious person, so if people are mad, like, it's almost like it's a them problem,
right?
You know, like, I'm not going out of my way to disrespect anyone or not take their feelings into consideration. I know myself, and going to therapy only makes you more self-aware. And so I know at the end of the day, I'm not doing anything wrong, but it's like working through that and like literally rewiring your brain and your nervous system to let yourself know you're not doing anything wrong. And it's okay that you move forward in your decision, putting yourself first.
No, for sure. Definitely. And for me, when I think of when I just made the choice to no longer people please, it was, I wasn't as happy. I noticed I wasn't feeling as fulfilled and my cup was full. And I'm like, what is really going on? And it was me starting to realize that I was truly putting other people's opinions, thoughts, and feelings before my own always. Mm-hmm. That was from relationships to friendships to family. And I'm like, I can no longer do this. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was just, I was just truly unhappy. But mm-hmm. of course, ever since I've learned to stop people pleasing, I am the happiest I've ever been.
Yeah.
Because it was just draining trying to please so many people, to the point they're still not happy. They're still got something to say. They're right. still going to talk shit, or like you were saying before, you know, just kind of just distance themselves or give you the silent treatment, all that. So mm-hmm. I was like, this is a mind game anyways. Yeah. It's like, it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah. I think putting yourself first like that and feeling like your cup is full and being happier, like, I always have the thought, I'm like, damn, now I see why selfish people are always happy. Yeah, like, right. walking around with no empathy without thinking about anybody else's feelings, thoughts, opinions, I'm like, damn, I low-key, I'm jealous. Because I'm not built like that, but I see why selfish yeah. people are so happy.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, must be nice to only literally. Think about yourself. How can you not be happy?
Yeah. No, for sure. And I'm really into listening to a lot of these powerful, successful, well-known CEOs' journeys and stories. And when I hear them talk, you can tell a lot of them are honestly very selfish. And they were very selfish, especially when they were growing their business.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying, as like these successful people, they're now learning what empathy is and what it means to be kind and whatnot. And I'm like, I believe that, though. I mm-hmm. feel like when you're in that grind mode and trying to get to where you want to be, like, you have to be selfish.
Yeah. And I think I've seen it personally in dating. Like, any entrepreneur I've dated was not emotionally available. They were not the most empathetic people at all. It's yeah. almost like that part of their brain was missing, or like it was just buried so far down. And Yeah. I mean, it's not a pleasant dating experience, but I can see how that's necessary because you have to eliminate distractions in order to get to like those high levels of success. But yeah, it's, I guess it's just a matter of how bad do you want it? I want to be successful, but not to the point of potentially ruining close friendships or honestly what I value most about myself, which is my ability to show up as a great friend or someone that people can depend on.
Yeah, I'm like, there's always just a certain level because I'm like, y'all are this successful and y'all still are working 15 plus hours a day? Nah.
Right.
There's, it's like, how do you have quality of life, work-life balance? And of course, we say all the time, there is none. So that it's just like, we have one life to live and I still want to find ways to live it. You know what I mean? And be present in the moment.
I agree.
Because it's so hard sometimes not to be present in the moment when you have so much going on, right? And sometimes I don't even realize it at that time that I'm like, actually, I'm thinking I'm in the moment and I'm not. And that is when I'm like, okay, that I have to work on that.
No, I agree with that. I feel very distracted probably for like the past year. I catch myself like not actually even being able to relax because I'm thinking about all the other things that I could be doing. And I don't think it'll last forever, but I do think in a growth startup phase like we're in right now with this podcast or anything, it that's just what it requires for now.
For sure.
So.
No, like I feel the same way. Like sometimes I just like zone out and people are like, hey.
Yeah.
Like, is everything okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm just thinking about everything I have to do in my head right now. Like, I just, but hey, I agree. It's just, it's temporary, right? It's temporary.
No, and I think also going back to the question, like, when I realized it was time for me to put myself first more, is, like, one of my favorite quotes is, like, deal with the pain of discipline or deal with the pain of regret. And when you look back and realize how much time you wasted not focusing on yourself and how much further you could have been, it's like, okay, now I don't have a choice. Yeah. Like it needs to be about me right now because I can see, like even with my own content, I can see it in my analytics. Like when I was solely focused on myself and then when something started to distract me, like I can look at the past 365 days, whatever it is, and literally see the line dip. And, like, looking at that for me is, like, an instant, okay, no, it's time for me to lock back in and focus on myself. So I feel like another thing is, like, one, like we've been saying, is just being exhausted or feeling like your cup is empty. But I think another thing for me, which is a huge fear, is just, like, wasting time and potential.
Yes.
You know?
No, for sure. For sure. And I think that's a very transparent moment, right, that you're saying because it's true, like, sometimes you're so all about you, focused on you, and there's things that can come into your life that kind of distract you for a moment, right? And I still think it's so important to somewhat be present in that moment. And yes, it's okay if you're not able to pour into other things, but get back on track, right? Like, don't kind of like stay in that place.
Yeah.
Because I feel like even if you, no, I'm not going to let this distract me or that distract me, then it's like you may lose out on some of the best things for you. So it's for me, it's big on, okay, when something else comes into my life or things of that nature, I find a way to, okay, well, let me give that a break. Let me pick that up and put this down, but then get back to that other thing that I'm really truly passionate about, right? So I think it's kind of like a trial and error thing.
I agree. Like we said, there's no such thing as balance, but.
No.
Whew, yeah, I've definitely gone from one extreme to the other and back. Trying to find the middle ground, but it's hard.
No, literally. Like this morning I was thinking, I was talking to God. I said, God, if you could just give me like six
extra hours
in the day. Like I just need six. And then I was like, you know what? Just give me three. Like just a few more hours. I promise you, I think I can get it done.
If not that, I just need the ability to forego sleep.
Literally.
Just give me unlimited energy because I can take that extra 8 hours.
No, literally.
So, and put it to work, you know. So, no, just
same.
Give me a few months of being able to live off of 2 hours of sleep.
Literally. Oh my gosh. Oh, it's so funny. What's the difference between being likable and being authentic to you?
I would say if you're being authentic, not everyone's going to like you. I don't know. I feel like the people that really, truly show up authentically themselves are either loved or hated.
Correct.
You know what I mean? They're polarizing one way or another, you know, and I think I don't know if the people that are likable are always remembered. I don't know how memorable they are sometimes. Because I think we're all unique individuals with different experiences in life. You see it with this podcast, us living in our authentic truth. We're not up here lying. We're speaking about real experiences that we've had.
Right.
Particularly a lot of times in dating, when we speak on conversations we've actually had with people or things that we've actually experienced in relationships, people are triggered.
Right.
But we are being authentically ourselves. We are authentically speaking about things that have happened in our lives, and people either fully relate or they're triggered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if we just sat up here and tried to be likable, I don't even know if we would have as much engagement, you know, because it's just middle of the road.
When I think of likable, I think of your people pleasing.
Yeah.
Because you're trying so hard to be liked. But when you're authentic, it's like you don't care. You're showing up as yourself, mm-hmm. no matter what. And, you know, I do agree with what you're saying as far as if you're likable, you're probably not memorable, mm-hmm. right? Because that authentic person is the person that it's like, listen, they just are who they are. And they are so memorable because there's something about them where you're like, I'm going to remember you for that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just like when you hear stories about people that, I don't know, meet maybe someone successful or whatever they do. It's like because they showed up as their authentic self,
mm-hmm.
and they did something that was memorable, right? And I totally agree with that. And I believe in being authentic. But I think growing up, I was more so trying to be likable and people please. But now I'm like, listen, I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I truly am just all over the place, but I am a multifaceted girly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have fully embraced the person and the woman that I am and the woman I'm becoming.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think we talk about all the time the idea of showing up at work more authentically and not code switching to try to be likable.
Right.
Because it does get exhausting.
Yes.
Trying to show up to work with a mask on or code switching or, yeah, not speaking a certain way, not speaking on certain things, not speaking up about something at work simply because you are trying to be likable or not ruffle any feathers. If you like don't like the fact that I'm not walking in smiling, like, okay, that's a you problem now.
Right.
But I show up every day and do my job and do it well. And all of these other things that I'm putting my energy into to make sure that you feel comfortable is just way too much of my energy
mm-hmm.
being spent.
No, I mean, it truly is. And for me, I no longer get into that because it's like, I'm not your puppet. You're not going to string me around and make mm-hmm. me do this and that. Because at the end of the day, like we always say, you are disposable to these companies. Mm-hmm. No matter how amazing of an employee you are, know how great you go above and beyond. And maybe you buy your team cookies or donuts or whatever it may be. It's like, it's still never good enough if budget is tight.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So for me, I'm like, I will never give my 110% to any business or company unless it's my own. I'll do my job. I'll show up. I'll give you my effort. But I've seen it happen to too many people close to me. And I was one of, I mean, it was COVID, right? So like, of course, I was definitely laid off.
Yeah.
So that was, it took one time for me. And thankfully, that was my first job in my career. So mm-hmm. I'm like, I got the lesson in early.
Yeah.
And it was from a personal person I knew. Like I knew the woman personally. So I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, I knew you personally and you laid me off? Cool.
People gonna do what they...
they gonna do what they gonna do.
Right. So you need to do the same.
Hello. So I have thought about... I've put me first in every job since then when it comes to things like that. So
yeah.
Lesson learned very early.
Yeah.
When did you realize you were emotionally unavailable to yourself?
That's a question on there.
Yeah.
Shocked. I think when... in relationships, when friendships or romantic relationships, when there was a betrayal, I was more concerned about them. Mm-hmm. Like literally, I remember in one of my last relationships where obviously there was infidelity, lies, deception, whatever, and I was ending the relationship and leaving, a part of me still felt guilty. Like, you know, leaving him alone and whatever, he didn't really have a lot of friends or family here, and I shouldn't have felt an ounce of guilt. You know, I left with grace. I took the things that were mine. I even left some stuff that was mine so that, you know, because I didn't need it. The things that happened, most people would have broke the Xbox, bleached the clothes. Like, I didn't do any of that. I left with grace, and part of me still felt bad for leaving. And I think a lot of the times when people do things that are not right, I end up feeling bad for doing what's best for me, which is removing myself or setting a boundary. And yeah, because that's easier to focus on than the fact that what they did was hurtful. And that was me not being emotionally unavailable to myself. Like, when you are more concerned about what the other person is going to feel and not the fact that you're doing what's best for you, you're being emotionally unavailable to yourself.
I definitely feel I'm emotionally unavailable at times in previous relationships or dating experiences because I've dated narcissists. Right. And dating a narcissist, they will make you feel as though you're always wrong and you're the reason why. And it's because you're not doing this or you're not that. It's always a you. Mm-hmm. And so that just completely had turned me off of how I truly feel about myself because I'm like, okay, this is the person that I love or whatever it may be. And they're making it seem like I am the full on problem.
Right.
And narcissists kind of, you really turn your own feelings off because they truly do make you feel like it's a you problem. And so you're trying to be emotionally available for them to the point you're no longer emotionally available for yourself.
Yeah.
And so I was completely unavailable for myself when it comes to my emotions because I was such in a toxic like relationship before this one. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're in a relationship with a narcissist, the only way to survive is to kind of be emotionally unavailable to yourself and to shut off your emotions. Like, I got to the point where I was just compartmentalizing. Like,
yeah,
getting cheated on did not make me cry. Like, I didn't feel anything. And
because you've already been through so much.
Right. And sadly, a tiny part of me felt relief because it was like finally proof that I can just be done with this situation. Mm. You know, like valid proof there in black and white. Yeah. And then after that relationship, like being in therapy, she would really try to drag the feelings out of me. And it took me like several sessions to even shed a tear because that's how much I just was burying my own emotions and not being emotionally available to myself. Mm-hmm. And I think being with a narcissist will do that. Like, it's so mentally draining that you just don't feel anything anymore.
You're literally just heavy.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you're such unsurvivable. Like, you're literally just trying to survive.
Yeah.
And also come up with your exit strategy. Mm-hmm. Because they find a way to pull you back in. And you're like, whew. Yeah.
I think survival mode's the perfect way to describe it. Because it's like you're a fraction of yourself. Like, you're a zombie, sort of. Like, obviously, I'm the cancer, the crier, whatever. I never cried. Like, was not me.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel anything.
Yeah. No, it's hard. Because when you look back on those type of relationships, you're just like, how did I get there? And you don't even know who you were back then, you know?
Yeah. I remember I said this. I'm literally shocked that I'm even going to say this out loud. I've told you this before, but I remember literally saying to my therapist, I don't know, maybe a year or two later, like, I would literally rather be dead than be in that relationship with him ever again. Yeah. And that I'm not freaking suicidal, but it's literally just like, I would hate to be stuck with him for the rest of my life. I would rather go see God.
I get it, though.
You know?
I have been there for sure.
I couldn't imagine still being in that situation now.
Yeah.
No, miserable.
Literally. It's the biggest blessing to leave relationships, no offense, kidless, because you have no attachments.
Like, literally.
Thank you, God, for getting me out of that situation without a child and without something that we have to still, you know, have a relationship for.
I couldn't imagine being stuck with that for 18 years and beyond.
Yeah, right.
At all.
Yeah. How do you stay rooted in your truth when people expect you to shrink?
One is having boundaries, right? To protect yourself and living in your truth. Now, I think a lot of times I don't like to invalidate people's feelings. So if something is making somebody feel that way, their feelings are valid. But whether or not you actually need to do something about it or adjust what you're doing to cater to their feelings. I think that finding that balance and what that boundary looks like, right? Because you can be doing something to hurt somebody where, like, let's say you speak very directly and maybe someone wants you to have less of a harsh tone. Valid. Your feelings are valid. I can work on that. Mm-hmm. But if you want to go to dinner tonight and I say, I really want to go to the gym and you feel some type of way about it, okay, your feelings are valid. You know, mm-hmm. your friend can't go to dinner with you. But now do I need to not go to the gym? No.
Right.
You know? So I think it's the balance of, I think, logic and empathy. And I think that that is the difference between logic or intelligence and emotional intelligence. Mm. And I think going back to what we were talking about, where really successful people, that is the thing. I've noticed in expressing how I feel to them, what's returned back is that your feelings are not valid because they always answer back with logic. And there is a difference between logic and emotional intelligence. Emotions are not logical.
Yeah.
And I think that is why intelligence and emotional intelligence are two completely different skills.
Right. No, you're right.
So to answer the question, I think it's emotional intelligence.
Mm.
It's, but not abandoning yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think when I think of it, I just think of like just knowing who you are, you know, like you just said. I mean, that's all I can truly think about when I've had jobs or people try to tell me who I am. I'm like, I know who I am, mm-hmm. you know, because I've done the work mm-hmm. and I've discovered who I am and I know where I lack and where I am good at. So for me, I don't let people shrink me into the box that they want to shrink me into because mm-hmm. people will. They will try to shrink you into the size of where they want you to be in, mm-hmm. regardless of how big and bold that you are. And so, you know, when I think of that, I always just think of like my pastor's sermons, because he talks about that a lot, about not shrinking yourself for other people or things. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very big on doing the inner work to discovering who I am and being confident in myself, because sometimes I feel like it's like frowned upon to be confident in yourself and to be like, I am that girl. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And for a while I had to just be like, you know what? I am that girl. Because so many people make you feel as though you're not. Mm-hmm. And when you do, I feel like you lack the drive to push forward, to think big, to go beyond. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I have to tell myself, even though I know where I want to be, but I have to tell myself I am that girl. That way I think like that girl. Mm-hmm. And so that's just kind of where I am. And that's what helps me to not confide myself and shrink myself to the size of which someone else sees me as.
Mm-hmm. When someone is used to a different version of you and you start to grow and evolve and change and work on yourself, they don't, you know, they want, they're used to that smaller version of you yeah. and they want to keep you there and they will have a problem with that. And yeah, I think to your point, like that's where knowing yourself and the emotional intelligence comes in, where it's like, mm-hmm. damn, am I being a bad friend or are they just feeling some type of way?
Right.
You know, and being able to be fair in that, you know, conversation. Yeah, I think there's a way you can acknowledge people's feelings, but also stay true to yourself. And as we talk about all the time, the people that truly love you and care about you and want what's best for you and not the version of you that's best for them are going to be okay with that growth.
Exactly.
But I think I've definitely experienced people not being okay with the growth because they wanted, you know, an old version of me.
For sure. Like, I feel like I'm often, probably yearly, having to go back to the drawing board on some of the relationships in my life.
Yeah.
Because I continue to evolve each year. I'm like, I always want to be better than I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so some people can't handle that, right? Like you said. And so, yeah, if you're not able to handle that, then maybe you no longer should be in my life.
Yeah.
Why do you think society reacts so strongly to confident, attractive Black women?
Whoo, shaking the table with that question.
I was like, ooh, this got Blake's name all over
the table. I think someone that is unapologetically themselves, but especially a Black woman, especially an outspoken Black woman, and especially an attractive Black woman, I think it triggers insecurities within other people. And I mm-hmm. think that's why they have an issue with it. And I think especially when you get on a platform like this and speak unapologetically about what you want for yourself and your life, and you're not people pleasing, or you are, for example, decentering men, people don't like, no one wants to hear that. Mm-hmm. They'd rather listen to somebody, you know, be a pick me and be desperate for a man. Yeah. But when you're not, it's triggering. And I think that's when, again, like when we get on here and speak unapologetically about not wanting to settle, that's when people are like, they have nothing else to hit you with but the, oh, well, you better hurry up before the clock is ticking. And it's like, that's all they can hit you with. And it's like, okay, and when you don't care about the biological clock, then what?
Right.
To me, when someone says, well, the clock is ticking, all I hear is, you better hurry up and settle.
Mm-hmm. No, literally.
But I think there's something about the not being desperate for something that triggers people. And I think it makes them feel inadequate.
Yeah.
Especially when you get online and talk about your boundaries or your standards and what you want and you don't want in a relationship. Inadvertently, the people watching that, if they don't fit the mold, they're going to be triggered and Absolutely. Have a problem.
Yeah.
I think if you are attractive and they can't get on and attack you for your looks, no, you know, yeah. then yeah. they're also going to be mad.
No, they're so, really mad.
And even if you are beautiful, then it's going to be, well, you got all that weave on your head. That weave is way too tight. Yeah. You got all that makeup kicked on your face. Like, yeah. you know, so it doesn't matter. People are going to find something to attack you for if you are a woman bold enough to speak out unapologetically.
Yeah.
You know, if they don't feel like you're attractive, then they're going to tell you that you're unattractive. If they feel like you're attractive, then they're going to attack your hair, your makeup, whatever.
Literally.
So if you're educated, somehow they're going to attack you for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and I think that's why so many people don't like when women are unapologetic or outspoken about their education, because that's also intimidating if you don't have one.
Yeah, for sure.
I think for some people, it can make them feel small. And we saw it in the comments of that socioeconomic episode where it's like, oh, all these Black women lead with their education and they put people, look down on people that don't have one. And it's like, do they, or are you, do you just feel inadequate because you don't have one?
Exactly.
You know?
Another reason why I feel like people feel so strongly against, you know, a Black woman that may be strong and confident and powerful is because it's literally in our aura. It's in our energy. Like when we walk into a room, you're going to look and be like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And like you said, yes, you will feel intimidated if you are insecure. That is the only reason why, because there's something about a Black woman, like when we know we are that girl and we're confident and we have gotten to a place of success and we know our shit don't stink, you're going to feel it. We don't have to say it, but you're going to feel it. Mm-hmm. And I love that about us. I think that is one of our superpowers, where mm-hmm. it's like we walk into a room and command attention immediately.
Yeah.
And people hate that because not everyone else has that gift. But I don't know. I may be biased. I think we're God's favorite.
I do too. But you know what? And not even from a dating perspective or a triggering men perspective, I think other women are triggered when you are confident enough to be beautiful, be yourself, and not walk into a room people-pleasing.
Yeah.
You know, when you are beautiful and you walk into a room minding your business, then the notion is automatically that you're a bitch or that you're mm-hmm. unapproachable. And to me, I've had so many people tell me that they thought that, you know, I was going to be mean or that they didn't think they were going to like me. And I don't know. I've gotten to the point now where I kind of just start to take comments like that as a reflection of their own insecurities mm-hmm. because someone walking into a room minding their business has never once bothered me.
No, like, literally.
And maybe I have a more empathetic approach to it because this has been my experience. Like when I see somebody who's in a room or in a social setting and they're more quiet, I automatically assume that they're shy or socially awkward because that's the experience for me. Mm. I don't automatically assume that they're a bitch right. or that they're unapproachable. Yeah. But maybe that's because that's how I am.
Right.
It's bizarre to me the issue that people have when you mind your business.
No, like literally. And for me, I think you definitely get it worse than I do. Because you definitely get it worse than I do. But But I do get it sometimes, especially with other people's friends. They're always like, oh, Ashlyn's this and she's that. And to be honest with you, the older I've gotten, I'm like, well, I must be doing something right because I'm not saying anything at all. And you're literally just intimidated based off of my presence alone. So mm-hmm. I have learned to turn that quote unquote negative into a you're doing something right, girl.
Right.
And that's all it is. I'm like, because I'm confident in who I am. You know what I mean? Yeah. But people are just weird. They're so weird with that, especially girls.
Yes.
And a lot of it comes from like we know, our other friends' friends.
Yes. Yeah. And I think especially with girls, what people do not like is when you don't have to do the most.
Yeah.
When you can walk into a room minding your business and there might be men that are interested in you and you don't have to go out of your way to be the center of attention. You don't have to go out of your way to be dressed in any certain type of way to get. I think a lot of girls don't like that either, yeah. Especially the ones that are male-centered.
No, you're definitely right about that. Some women seek male attention and they will literally run and chase a man and be all on their face. Where you as may just be like, I can sit right here and chill. And that man will just come up to you like, hey,
yeah,
how's it going? Like, men truly know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think a lot of women understand that. Like, these men are a lot smarter than what you may think they are. They read into us so much more deeply sometimes than what I think. I'm like, oh, so you know.
No, for real. And honestly, once I started having those conversations, I realized why I wasn't getting approached because I wasn't giving desperate energy.
Yeah.
Like, because I would wonder, I'm like, is there something on my face? Yeah. Like, but no, I wasn't giving desperate. I wasn't giving easy. I wasn't giving mm-hmm. come play in my face. So.
No, literally. Yeah. And it's crazy because I agree. Like, they literally know by just looking at you what type of woman you are. And I honestly didn't realize that either. I was like, oh, wow. It's like they can look and see exactly who you are without you even saying anything. Just based on like the way you carry yourself, your energy, the way you are dressed, mm-hmm. things of that nature. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you don't have to be the loudest in the room to command the room. So remember that.
Facts.
So honestly, just like closing off this episode, I guess, what's the overall advice that you would give someone struggling to stop people pleasing?
I would say be forward thinking and look into the future at what your life is going to look like if you don't start putting yourself first. Are there things that you are not going to accomplish because you're not putting more time and energy into yourself? And yeah, like I said, my favorite quote, deal with the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And you don't want to look back on your life and regret not having pursued something or put more time and energy into yourself because you were putting other people first. And that can go for your goals. Like for me, that's what I'm speaking on. But if you're older and you're not taking care of yourself because you're so worried about others, and then you take a peek into your future and you have health issues,
right?
Because you weren't taking care of yourself enough, that is something you will regret, you know? So I think that would be my advice, is be forward thinking about what your life is going to look like if you stay on this path.
We're always taught that you have time. You have time. And the older we're getting, we're realizing that we don't. Time is flying by. The older we're getting, mm-hmm. time is literally flying by and it's becoming less and less. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's like, if you don't make the change to stop people pleasing today, then when are you going to do it? Because time is just running. It's moving. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to look back and regret, you know, not stopping to people please to put yourself first. Because, I mean, we can all sit here and say, look at where we are all these years later and look where it got us by maybe not people pleasing as much.
Mm-hmm.
You only have one life to live. And it's so important to put you first and find ways to make sure that you get to live out your wildest dreams and to check all the goals off your bucket list. So it's so important to find ways to stop people pleasing. It's a journey, right? It doesn't happen overnight. We both probably can say that we're still not 100%
at all. No.
Right. But daily habits, daily deposits.
Period. Lastly, the mantra moment of the day. If the boundary offends them, they benefited from my lack of one.
Mm.
if people are only rocking with you when you lacked boundaries, that is a clear sign that they're not meant to come with you into your next phase of life.
Yeah.
Clear sign. I feel like I've definitely experienced that.
Yeah.
You know, when you get a little busy or want to focus on something that's going to benefit you or better yourself, and they have an issue with that, do they really have your best interest at heart? Or did right. they only love the version of you that lacked boundaries? Or maybe lacked love and care for yourself? When people love you so much when you're down and out, but then when you start to dig yourself out of a hole or do better for yourself and make better decisions, and all of a sudden they're telling you that you're acting different or they feel some type of way, yeah, they don't really love you or have your best interest at heart. They like the version of you that's not your best self, quite frankly.
Right. No, I agree. Because you remind them a lot of themselves, right?
Right. Yes.
So that's a hard truth. Yeah. Definitely.
That and, someone. You know, if you're friends with someone and you're both down and out, but you start to dig yourself out and they're still, that makes them also feel inadequate to what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, when in reality, maybe they should feel inspired, but.
Right. No, definitely. If you have friends around you, you don't feel inspired, that's so weird. Like mm-hmm. to feel jealous and envious and, oh, she's better than me or think she's better. Like, that is your friend.
Right.
That is crazy. Mm-hmm. So definitely very toxic. You don't need that in your life, whether it's a friend, family member, or a man.
Period.
All righty, guys.
Well, and on that note.
Yeah. Guess we'll close it out. We'll see y'all next week.